thankful for the opportunity to be able to be in God's house tonight, and I trust the Lord to bless us in the reading of His Word. Do certainly encourage you to encourage the brethren at Grace, that Lord willing, that'll be coming. Brother Billy said they're really a fine body of believers there. That's where I was last Sunday. And they really love the Lord, so encourage them and pray for them. A wonderful body of believers, so keep them in your prayers. Tonight I want to look in John 14, something I preached at the nursing home here a while back, and it's still on my mind and on my heart. I want to kind of preface it. I want to talk to you tonight about my Father's house. Now, I want to kind of preface it by telling you that down through the ages until the time of Jesus Christ and until His ascension and the promise of the Spirit, what you had was the sanctuary in Jerusalem. You had the temple. You had a special place. That's where God came down and met with people. But what you have after the time of Christ and after the Holy Spirit came, you have more intimacy in fellowship. You have more than God coming down and just dwelling in a building. You had certainly the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you had us being lifted up. Remember, the Bible says in Ephesians that He would lift us up together in heavenly places. And that's really, that really kind of clarifies what I'm talking about, is a heavenly house. Now, we could say this church, is a heavenly place. But now, I've seen times, and I'm thankful it's not been many times, but I've seen times when it weren't too heavenly here. I've seen there have been in a lot of other places where the house of God wasn't heavenly. Now, it's still a sanctuary, but you have times our attitudes are wrong. There's times we have bad feelings. There's times we're not all we ought to be. But I want to tell you tonight about a place that is never defiled. Now, in Jerusalem, today, over there, as we think about Israel today, they're fighting and killing one another over there today. A lot of times people say that's the holy city of God. Well, I want to tell you today very emphatically, that is not the holy city of God. I'm not against the Jews. I believe as a nation we ought to support them over there in a large degree because of, certainly, we played a part as well as the British in putting them over there. But we find that over there is not God's holy house. His temple isn't there, and if they rebuild it, don't matter, because that's not God's temple. His temple, we find in Revelation, is Jesus Christ. We find in Revelation as well, I'm going to read in prefacing this message again, in Revelation 12, he talks about, I'm going to begin in verse 7, it says, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven." Now again, you always, every time you hear the word heaven, you've got to ask the question, what heaven? Because Genesis chapter 1 and verse 8 said that God made the firmament and called it heaven. In the Bible, most of the time, the sky is heaven. But a lot of times you find, or several times, that I believe it's referring to Jerusalem or the holy city of God in the Old Testament. Now, here we find that there was no more place found for the devil in heaven. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and read, and I'm doing a lot of preface before I really get to what I'm after, but in Hebrews chapter 12, I've got to mention this, and I'm going to go ahead and read verse 10 in Revelation 12. I'm going to go ahead and read 9 and 10. It said, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Now here, he's talking about a war. Now, brethren, I'm going to tell you tonight, I do not believe that the devil has ever been up there in heaven. I do not believe that this verse is referring to that. Now, that's a message all in itself. But here tonight, I believe that this passage is dealing with Jerusalem and the war that in 69 A.D. they compassed about Jerusalem, and God brought His judgment upon the Jews, and that city was destroyed. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read Hebrews, what was under consideration, or what I was wanting to go in Hebrews. We find in this passage in chapter 12, listen to what he says. And in verse 22, he says, "But ye are come into Mount Zion, into the city of the living God." Now, this is what Paul was telling the Hebrew church. He said, you come into, not unto Mount Zion. But ye are come into the city of Mount Zion, come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. He says, the heavenly Jerusalem, unto innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, he says in 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying yet once more. Now, this is what was occurring in Paul's day. One more time, he destroyed Jerusalem a numerous times, but he said one more time, he says, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signify the removing of those things that are shaking as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, all this is preface for what I want to get into. But what he's saying is, old Jerusalem could be shaken, and it was shaken a bunch of times. And what he's talking about in Hebrews or in Revelation 12 is about the devil over and over and over entered into Jerusalem. Over and over, we find that Jerusalem, Satan could enter in and out of. He was there all the time, you could say, in many, many ways. And he had people fighting and feuding and turning against God. And the house of God there at times was destroyed. And that was the house of God among men. It was destroyed. But now there is a heavenly Jerusalem, and this heavenly Jerusalem, the old had to be shaken. That is, old Jerusalem in 70 A.D. was shaken. And he's saying this is the last time. The reason it's the last time is because God no longer has His house in that earthly Jerusalem, but His house is now established in the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, let kind of keep these thoughts in your mind. And he said, now, this will never be shaken again. It's eternal. It'll never shake again. The reason is that the new Jerusalem, remember Revelation 21, he said, I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. He said it came down from God out of heaven, this as a bride adorned for her husband. It came down from God out of heaven, this new Jerusalem, this heavenly city, this special place. And we get into that in a few minutes. But back in John 14, hopefully some of these things will make sense to you in a few minutes. But in John 14, listen to what he begins telling us here. Now, this verse, and it's true, I could preach this as saying everything that eternal heaven will be as well in my Father's house. Because you see, what you have, this house of God, certainly it's with the Father. But you're going to see as we go on in this passage that is something that you can have and enter into now, and is really, it all goes back. What you find in the Bible is over and over, it teaches the same lesson in many, many ways. It's teaching the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It's teaching a heavenly Jerusalem that we can experience on this side of heaven. In John chapter 14, he begins by saying, in my Father's house are many mansions. Let me find this passage and I make sure I get everything just right. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whether I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Now he comes on down, and in 6 he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, the point that I want to draw here in the beginning of this passage is that we have, he said, don't be afraid. Now, Jesus was about to depart. He was about to be crucified. He was about to die. And he said, now, I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be scared. But I want you to have comfort. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You've been believing in God all these years. You believe in God, believe in me now. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, there's all kind of songs about mansion, you know, just over the hillside. He talks about in one of the modern songs, I've got a mansion just over the hillside. Well, I want to tell you tonight that if you're thinking carnally, if you're thinking about a little building, some of you having a little cottage over there in heaven, or somebody having a great big mansion, or maybe Brother Tony might be thinking, if he was here tonight, he'd be thinking about a golf course up there, or somebody might be thinking, Brother David, about a motorcycle or something along that line. I want to tell you, none of that compares to what God has for us. All of that is earthly. All of that is carnal. And the word mansion has reference to a dwelling place or a room. I want to tell you tonight that in my Father's house there are many rooms. There are many dwelling places. There are many, yes, mansions, but that word mansion means room or dwelling place. There's room. Now, I want to tell you the reason there's room. There's a lot of room. God will never run out of room. If there's millions or billions of people there, there's never running out of room, certainly in eternal heaven nor here. And you're going to see that we're able, it's where heaven meets earth, where we're able to be lifted up in heavenly places, where we're able to fellowship with the saints of God, and we're able to really fellowship with God, is in His heavenly Jerusalem, in my Father's house. Now, he says here, he says, in my Father's house there's many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And he says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, it gives me some joy to think about that after a while, I'm going to be in heaven. After a while, I'm going to be in the presence of God. After a while, I'm going to be with the Father. I'm going to be in the Father's house in a complete way. But, brethren, I want to tell you tonight that there Jesus was telling his apostles, and he was talking to Peter and James and John and saying, now, I'm about to die. I'm going to die. But in a little while, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight that I don't believe that he was telling them that you got to wait till you die, that you got to wait till maybe hundreds of years or thousands of years, and I'm going to come back for you in the resurrection. But, brethren, I believe that he was telling them something that was more closer at hand, a time that was there, a time. Every bit of that would apply eternally, but I want to tell you, my friend, that tonight, that there is room for you in my Father's house. I'm going to read on down in this passage, and I encourage you to go home and read the whole thing. But he says now, beginning in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, that's not the passage I'm after. I'm going to come on down in verse 16 for time's sake. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, Jesus said, I'm going to go, but see, it ties in to me. Don't be afraid. I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you a comforter that will abide with you forever. Now, you see, Jesus was a comforter. Remember when they were on the ship and they were afraid? Remember when he spoke the words and he said, peace be still? Remember where he told them over and over, why are you afraid? Don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Even here, he was giving them comfort, but he was about to be gone. He was about to leave this world. But, brethren, he said, it's a necessity that I die, because if I don't die, the Holy Spirit in that way would not come down. And Jesus could only comfort people as he came in physical contact with them. But now we have the comfort of God through the Holy Spirit of God. We have the ability to enter into the house of God as we go on down. I hopefully we'll be able to see a little more. He says now in 16 again, he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Now the world isn't going to be able to receive it. The world isn't going to get it, what I'm trying to say. It'll go right over their head, either the world or those that are worldly minded. They're going to miss it. It's going to go over their head. And brethren, I want to tell you tonight that there's something you can have and I can have. We can enter into the house of God. We can enter into the Father's house. There's room for you and I. And he said in 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Jesus is saying, "I'm going to come to you in a little while. I'm going to come to you." And listen to what he says. "Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more." They won't be able to see him. "But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him." And you know what he says? "I will manifest myself to him." Come on down here in 22. "Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." You know what that word abode means? It basically means to abide or to dwell with. Now, brethren, it's the Father coming down and dwelling with us, abiding with us. It's God lifting us up, really, in heavenly places and us dwelling with the Father. He says in Revelation chapter 3 that we can sit down with Jesus in his throne as he overcame and sat down with his Father at his throne. But here in this passage, he said that Jesus, the Son, and the Father will come in the Spirit of God, in the Holy Spirit of God. So what I want you to be able to see tonight, yes, every bit of this would apply in the first few verses with eternity, in the sense that, yes, the house of God or being able to dwell in heaven, we could say that heaven is God's house. But I want to tell you tonight, my friends, that the eternal heaven is wonderful and great and grand, but God has given us a piece of heaven, a piece of the rock right here, right now, that you're able to partake of, able to enter into, you're able, because in Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled," for he says that in essence, as he stated here, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." There's many dwelling places in the Father's house. You don't have to worry. Now, one reason we could say, certainly there, God can make room for all of us. But you know, the Bible makes it very plain, as in Matthew chapter 7. You know, we could see that there's not many. There's not many in verse 13 and 14, I believe it is. Not many enter into the kingdom of God. And I believe that all of this is dealing with the kingdom of God. All of this is talking about, what is the kingdom of God? Remember, you know, when we mention the term kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, I'm not talking about heaven where Jesus is in eternity, but I'm talking about where God comes down and dwells with us, and he lifts us up where we can dwell with him and walk with him and commune with him, where we can live with him. And more than just dwelling in and out, I believe that as the children of God, we can have more consistency, fellowship with God. Now, Jerusalem over there, years gone by, they would have blessing for a while, then God would bring them down because of their sin. The devil would enter in and out of. But I want to tell you tonight that the devil can't enter into God's house. The devil cannot. He could enter into Jerusalem, but he can't God's house. He can enter into this building here. Now, as long as the church is spiritual, certainly God will lift us up. But he can enter in this body, and he can cause divisions and problems and trouble. But there's some place you have a total refuge. You have a place from the storms of life you're able to enter into, and there's room. Now, we find that not many people go in here. We find in verse 13 and 14, he said, "Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that find it." The same teaching. Because, see, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, remember, you find in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, it's not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You find in Luke 17, 20 and 21 that the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven cometh not with observation. For he says, some say, lo here, some say, lo there. He said, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. I'm talking about a kingdom. I'm talking about a house, really. I'm talking about a place of fellowship with God, dwelling with God. God comes and sups with you and fellowships with you. Now you look in Jerusalem and how Jesus ate with people there in Jerusalem and how the people of that day could fellowship and eat with one another. But I'm talking about tonight, about a heavenly Jerusalem, a new Jerusalem, my Father's house. Now the houses of this world might be corrupted, but in my Father's house, our accuser, the devil, that could enter into every day before, that could enter into the old Jerusalem, enter into the houses of the world. This Jerusalem, the devil cannot enter into. This Jerusalem is total rest, total peace, total tranquility for the children of God that will only fellowship. And brethren, I want to tell you today that this is a table before us in the house of God, the presence of God in my Father's house. If we can only see, if God would only open our eyes right here. Remember what David said of old in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. You're talking about a banqueting table at the Father's house that we're able to enter into. You're talking about, he said, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as you go on down in that thing. Well, brethren, you find that God's house, the Father's house, we have a feast today. We have a meal today. We have banqueting today, if only. See, he says, who enters in John 14? He that hath thy commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And he said that we will come and make our abode. He said, I will manifest myself unto him. You want to see God, you've got to go to the Father's house. Where is the Father's house? How are you going to be able to enter there? You say, I don't know the way to Daddy's house. I don't know the way to my Father's house. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to enter into the Father's house, then all you've got to do is follow Jesus. All we have to do is follow his example. And he gave us the example of loving our enemies, of loving our neighbor. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He gave us an example of service, an example of giving our lives, our bodies, a living sacrifice unto God, which is holy and acceptable unto God in our reasonable service. That's how you find Daddy's house. You see, you follow the maps of the world and you're going to be lost. You're going to be, I know, I get lost all the time reading them. I can't find them. But the beautiful part about this is it don't matter as far as your navigational skills. All that matters is that you follow the navigator and what he told you to do and how he told you to live. How he told you to be a mama, how he told you to be a father, how he told you to be an employee, an employer. As you do all of the things in this life, you see, the world says, where is your God? The world says, where is your daddy's house at? But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you're able to enter in your daddy's house while you're at work and while there's trouble going on around you and while there's problems all around you. You're able to smile because you're sitting down at your table with your daddy. You're feasting whenever even you're hungry or you're tired or you're weary. Remember what he says? He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavily laden. And what's he saying? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, for my yoke is easy. And he said, learn of me. But he said, he said, I will give you rest. That there was in Matthew chapter 11, what I was trying to state. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm talking about my daddy's house. My Father's house, there's room galore for his children. There's plenty of room for you, but only a few find it. Why? Because only a few will do what is necessary. Only a few will daily crucify. Many of us here today, we go in and out way too much. We leave the Father's house. You know what happens when you leave the Father's house? You know what happens when you leave the house of your father? The same thing that happened in Luke 15, I believe it is, with the prodigal son. Before long, you squander your inheritance. And really, I could preface it by saying that we're talking about an inheritance tonight. And I'm going to go ahead and read that as well. I really need to before I close here tonight in Ephesians chapter 1. You know, a lot of times all we want to think about is hereafter. Brother, you're not going to have any confidence in the hereafter unless you have some confidence in the here and right now. Now, if all you have is here and right now, then nothing really matters. You know, if all you believe is blessings here and nothing eternally, then there's no need to go on. But, brethren, I believe in eternity a blessing, a life of heaven that's going to be better than we can ever imagine. But we find in Ephesians, listen to what he says here in Ephesians chapter 1, this passage here. He begins, and in verse 4 through 7, he talks about our eternal salvation. And in verse 11, he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now, an inheritance is something you get that your father passes down, or uncle, or whoever, somebody gives you. They leave you an inheritance. Well, I want to tell you that God left us an inheritance. Now, Jesus is a living. He died for us, but then he's risen again, and we're joint heirs with Jesus. So all of heaven is ours. And so we do have an inheritance. That means we own all of heaven together. We're with Jesus together, and we enjoy all of eternity together. But here tonight he comes on in this passage, and he says in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God does what he wants to. I mean, God can and God does. And listen to what he says now. He said, we have an inheritance. We've obtained it. He says in 13, in whom ye also trusted. You trusted in Christ after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's why it's important that you hear about. You have an eternal inheritance. I have heaven. Heaven is mine because Jesus paid it all. He bought me body, soul, and spirit. I believe that my body is going to be in heaven. I have an inheritance. But now he says, in whom also after ye trusted, after you heard the word of truth. Important you hear about it. Then you need to trust and believe in the gospel of God, in the gospel of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. The gospel of your salvation, in the middle of verse 13, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, you know what this sealing is? Now, this sealing of this Spirit is after you hear, after you believe, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is called, in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. He's saying, until God carries your body home, until you are changed, until you are in the image of Jesus Christ physically. Right now you have problems. Right now they might cut a big old gash out of you. And by the way, every one of you, make for sure that Brother Billy thinks that he's as pretty as he's ever been. And that's the way to tell him. Just say, you're as pretty as you ever been. And you see, now I know, and I thought of telling you this earlier, all you got to do is call your mama if you feel bad about yourself, and she'll tell you how pretty you are. And she'll believe it. She'll totally believe it. Now, you see, here in this passage, though, he said the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. You know what earnest is? Earnest is a down payment, a prepayment, a little bit right now. You know, you heard about the candy that, and I remember as a child having it now and later. You can have some for now and some for later. With God saying, you're going to have a whole bunch more later. You're going to be able to enjoy heaven and have heaven and all the benefits of heaven, and it's more. I can't even preach it to you because I don't even know about it completely. All I know is God says it's going to be good, and I know God to be true because it's good now, and it can get better now, and I can dwell in my Father's house today if only I will obey my Father, if only I will come unto Daddy, if only I will walk with him, he'll sup with me. If only I talk with him, he'll sup with me and walk with me and commune with me. If only I obey his commandments, his teaching, and I don't mean legalistic teaching in the sense of that, but I mean giving my life to Jesus Christ. The earnest of our inheritance. It's wonderful to know heaven is mine, but isn't it wonderful to know that my Father's house is real, and my Father's house can come down. And God said, now in heaven it's going to be better, but here's a prepayment now. In heaven you're going to be with me in the flesh. Your flesh is going to be changed. It's going to be is going to put on immortality. But now, while you're in this clay body, while you're in this feeble, lifeless body as far as of spirituality, while you're here, you can sit with him in your Father's house. There's room in my daddy's house. There's room for you. There's room for me. God bless you. I hope in some way that you've been able to get a little something from this. It's pretty to me. I can't preach it like it is, but it's beautiful. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't fret. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. There's many dwelling places. There's plenty of space. There's room. There's room. God bless you. Come. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavily laden, I give you rest. Daddy's house has plenty of resting places. But the rest ain't for the lazy. The rest are for those that labor. The rest are for those that are tired from laboring. The rest are for those that are persecuted. Jesus says that it's given unto us in the behalf of Christ, or Paul did, inspired by God, not only to believe on his name, but to suffer for his sake. When you suffer, don't worry. There's plenty of room in your daddy's house. There's plenty of rest. There's plenty of joy. There's plenty of peace. God bless you to experience it and to enjoy it. And know that most of the Bible's about fellowshipping in the daddy's house, right here and right now, besides waiting one day and way out yonder. God bless us to experience it daily is my prayer.